Don't you just know the AccuWeather forecast we just heard had the words west of U.S. 131 in it? It was disguised. They referred to it as especially closer to Lake Michigan. But we all know what that meant. And it is that time of year when west of 131 has significant meaning. Good afternoon to you, folks. Raj Taylor and Michael driving you home. How you doing, Mike?
Today's been a good day so far.
Good. Let's keep the shiny side up for the next couple hours. Let's get started. We got a lot to cover today. Kevin Wertelman has announced that he is running for the Kalamazoo County Board of Commissioners. And I'm intrigued why he would start so early. And so welcome Kevin Wertelman to the show. Kevin, how you doing this afternoon?
I'm good, Roger. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's go with my first question. Isn't it sort of early to begin the race for the Board of Commissioners?
I don't think it's early. There's going to be a lot of change on the County Board of Commissioners. I think that's become clear over the last couple of months. I think as of right now, the count of current commissioners who are running for the state legislature is up to four. So there's going to be a new looking commission starting next year. And I want to run. I want to represent the 2nd District on the County Commission. And I think that we should have a conversation as a community about the role the county plays. I think since there's going to be change, there's going to be a transition and new leadership on the county board, we ought to start having a conversation now about what the role of the county ought to be in our lives.
Do you see the county government being an agent of change?
Potentially, sure. I think, if you look at the national and state trends over the last few years, local governments are increasingly more and more on their own. Why shouldn't the county government be an agent of change for, helping local governments survive and thrive in this environment?
Well, the reason I ask the question is when we look at the most successful cities in the country, a couple come to the top, Portland, Oregon, and Indianapolis, and in both cases, they use the county government to sort of provide services with some economy of scale to the whole county.
Sure. And I think those two cities are good models to look at. I live in the city of Kalamazoo. My district is almost entirely within the city of Kalamazoo. Mm-hmm. I love the city of Kalamazoo, and I think the destiny of our county and our region rise and fall with the city and with the great institutions in the city, like the university, the hospitals, and everything that makes it such an attractive place to live.
I couldn't agree more.
So I think the role of the county ought to be, to supplement that, to identify the things that we do really well in Kalamazoo County and invest in those things. Mm-hmm. And I think, the more cooperation, collaboration, that we can develop and build those relationships among, I think we're up to 26 units of local government within the county.
Mm-hmm.
The more that we can all work together, I think the better the future is going to look for all of us.
Absolutely. Kevin, I spent most of my childhood in your district. I was a Millwood boy, brought up and raised out there. And this goes back to a time when you knew what was happening there at the Allied site, because you couldn't drive anywhere near it and not smell what was going on there.
Sure.
The smell is gone, but the contamination is not. Talk to me about your view of the Allied site and what you think the future of that should be.
Absolutely. I mean, the future should be that it gets cleaned up and it gets redeveloped. And it can be redeveloped. You know, this is a big piece of land right in the middle of our city, right in the middle of this district.
Mm-hmm.
It has a lot of potential.
Mm-hmm.
But it has zero potential right now because it's full of PCBs that need to be cleaned up.
Now, I have to disagree. It does have potential. It has the potential of contaminating our water system.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's got potential.
Yeah, I would agree. Negative potential, absolutely.
Yeah.
It could get worse, and that's a point well taken. I think the EPA's current plan is to cap it and leave it and hope it sort of stays where it is.
Yeah, pretend.
Which is a negative in its, you know, in its own right.
Yeah.
I think my perspective on this is pretty simple. I think our elected officials from Congressman Upton to our senators in Washington all the way down to our city council, they've done a good job of speaking out about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, the conversation has really been about, this should not happen in the Allied Paper site. This should not happen in Kalamazoo. And I think that locally we need to adopt a little more of a firm position that this will not happen. We cannot allow a permanent landfill, to be left in the middle of our neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm.
In perpetuity, that's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, so I think all options need to be on the table.
And covering it does not make a landfill. If they were talking about creating an appropriate landfill for PCB waste and heavy metals and the other stuff that's in there, that would be different. But their idea is to sweep it under the rug and put a rug over the top and pretend it's not there.
I agree completely. It would look to the naked eye like a landfill, but the major problem, as you pointed out, Roger, we don't know what all is going on below the surface, and we're talking 10, 15, 20, 30 feet below the surface or more.
Oh, yeah.
Until we can be guaranteed that nothing's going to spread into our water supply, I think that it's sort of an emergency situation.
Mm-hmm. We're on the same page in the hymnal. We're talking with Kevin Wortelman. And Kevin, Kalamazoo County in general has navigated the current economic situation about as well as it could be. And I'm not just talking about the Kalamazoo County government, although I believe it has done a commendable job. But I'm talking the city of Kalamazoo, the city of Portage. Yesterday, I talked to the director of the Kalamazoo Public Library, and our library has done a good job of keeping afloat in these times of reduced funding.
Sure.
In that environment, what is priority one for you if elected to the county commission?
Well, I think we just kind of talked about it. I think the Allied Paper site, finding a solution for the Allied site, I know that's not just a county issue, but being that that's smack dab in the middle of my district, that's priority number one.
Okay.
Beyond that, things are pretty stable in Kalamazoo, at least if you look at a region countywide basis. The county government is relatively stable.
Mm-hmm.
But the city government, is in trouble, and I think part of the reason for that is property tax revenue. That's a big part of that. And also revenue sharing from the state, which is probably not going to increase anytime soon. And you also have the situation with personal property tax, the business property tax, which may go away next year. And so, while we may be stable today, that doesn't mean we'll be stable tomorrow. So I think job number one is to take a step back, look at the fiscal condition of all of the units of government in the county, and see what we could do, see how the county could facilitate some kind of cooperation and collaboration to make sure that people are getting the services they need. We're sharing the cost in a fair and equitable manner, and we're sustainable for the long term.
Who could argue with that on a theoretical basis? Getting there is the key question. And that'll give us plenty to talk about in future shows. I appreciate your taking time to talk with us this afternoon. Kevin, if people would like to learn more about Kevin Wertelman and why you're running for county commission, how would they want to do that?
Well, very soon here they will be able to find my webpage, which is kevin4kzoo.com. It's not up yet, but it'll be up here pretty soon, and that should be. And then, you know, I think I'm also on Facebook, so they can look me up, Kevin Wertelman, on Facebook.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Enjoyed talking with you this afternoon. And I'm just guessing that there'll be a chance for us to talk once or twice between now and the election coming up in a little less than a year.
I look forward to it, Roger. Thank you very much.
You bet. Have a good afternoon.
You too.
Kevin Wertelman, a Democratic candidate for the Kalamazoo County Commission. Second district covers Westridge Hill, Hillcrest, and my old stomping grounds, Millwood. And I think he's on to something when he says we need to clean up the Allied paper site. We can't have a hole in our donut right in the middle of the community. That's a ticking time bomb waiting to contaminate our drinking water. Hello? WKZO, 50 degrees on the outside. Enjoy the warm temperatures. They're not going to be around for long. We'll find out just how cold it's going to get. Not just for this weekend. We're already talking about some accumulating snow. But it seems like Bob Larson yesterday told us it was going to there was going to be yet another blast of cold air prior to Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving, a week from today, that's a holiday I know when it's happening. You know, you get a day centered around a meal. The meal is not an adjunct to opening your Christmas presents. It's not associated with Happy New Year. It's just sitting around with friends, having a big meal. And that's like dying and going to heaven in my book.
That's what I love about Thanksgiving, is being able to spend time with family and watch some football and just hang out and relax.
Are the Lions playing?
Yes, they are. They're going to be playing the Green Bay Packers on Thanksgiving.
Now, that used to be a regular thing, that the Lions and the Packers played on Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Now it's kind of like an every other year thing, because next year they'll play an AFC team, and then they'll probably go back to playing the Packers the year after.
Oh, okay. Okay. We have Thanksgiving with some long-term good friends, and they are avid Packer fans. So I'm just guessing, it's a wild guess, but I'm just guessing that Packers-Lions game will be on. It'll be interesting to see who in the family, their kids, one lives in Detroit, the other lives in Chicago now, and we'll see if that's impacted who's rooting for whom when that football game is on Thursday afternoon, a week from today. Coming up next hour, we're going to talk about a couple of things. We're going to talk about Harry Reid exercising the nuclear option today. It's about time. We can't have a paralyzed government forever. And I'm thinking this was a good thing. And we'll talk with, do we know yet who we're going to talk with? Is it Bob Fuss or Pamela Fall?
Yep, we just got a call. We're going to be talking to Bob Fuss.
Okay. He's the CBS News Capitol Hill political reporter. And we'll talk to him and find out what the long-term repercussions of this might be. Hopefully, we will be able to approve federal court nominees. I became increasingly frustrated when Republicans just said, we're just not going to approve anybody. It's not like they had specific objections to the nominees to the various district federal courts. It's not like they had an exception with one of these people. They just said, as policy, we're not going to allow a president that we don't like to, quote, pack the court by filling holes in the judicial staffing. And that just seems downright silly. Well, we're going to talk to Bob Falk about that, Bob Fuss, I should say, in the first part of the 4 o'clock hour. And then in the second part of that hour, we're going to talk with a group that wants to raise the minimum wage. And if you wonder why we need to do that, a story that I found in the Cleveland Plain Dealer, a Walmart store in Northwest Ohio, was asking the employees to donate food to help feed their fellow employees on Thanksgiving. And in my mind, this is just disgusting. We are the richest country in the world. The Walton family, the heirs, there's six of them, they make more money a year than the bottom 41.6% of the population of our country. Those six people make more money than 41.6% of the people living in this country. And so by asking their workers to help feed their fellow workers, they're asking the poor to help the really poor, the destitute poor. And while the family is raking in billions of dollars, and we're going to talk about raising the minimum wage coming up in the latter part of the 4 o'clock hour. Cloudy and chilly this afternoon, some light rain around, a high 49. We got 50. In Kalamazoo, here's CBS. Degrees at 3:38. Roger and Michael riding home with you this afternoon. Cloudy out there. Going to turn colder. We'll find out how cold in just a couple minutes when we talk with Bob Larson. But right now, we're going to talk with Brian from Lawton. Brian, how you doing this afternoon? Thanks for waiting, by the way.
Oh, yeah. You're welcome, Roger. Thank you. On the issue with the courts, you realize that when Bush was president, the Democrats stalled all of his nominations as well, right?
But nowhere near the magnitude of stalling that we have seen here in the Obama administration.
No, actually, it was more, Roger, because
no, it
wasn't. It was because of the idea that Bush's first 4 years, the concept was that he didn't have a mandate, so they really aggressively pushed not voting at all on his appointees. And then the other part of this issue is now the Democrats are banking that they're going to keep the presidency even in the next term, and then the plan is to pack the courts with the liberal judges, because we know that the supposed nonpartisan judges are partisan based on who they appoint, Brian,
you have to let somebody else talk. Brian, hold on.
Activism.
Brian, you need to have a conversation, not a
monologue. Hey, Roger, I listen to you all the time in your liberal comedy hour, and you do this all the time. You always talk over people when you don't want to hear it. You started talking over me to make my point.
Okay.
It's your tactic, buddy.
Brian, let's not get into an argument here. The bottom line is I don't agree with leaving court vacancies open under the when the Democrats had control. And I think that you're right. This sets up, if the Republicans win the presidency and take control of the House, this is going to give them the ability to move ahead. But we can't have the country stalled forever, can we?
Well, why wasn't an issue why did the liberal media not bring this up when the liberals were doing it against the conservatives?
Answer my question. Can we go on year after year, no matter who's doing it, whether it's the Democrats stopping Republicans or the Republicans stopping Democrats, can we go on year after year with our government just stalled and not functioning?
It is functioning.
When
there's a compromise, both sides have to give something up to compromise.
Okay.
And because the media is controlled by the liberals.
That isn't true. Look at Fox News.
Sure it is.
Brian, I'm sorry. We've got to run. Bob Larson joins us now, and this will be far less controversial, unless you don't like snow. Hi,
well, I
Bob.
Was going to say, you don't know what I'm going to say yet in
yeah,
terms of
yeah,
controversy.
Yeah, this may...
How are you, Roger?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm.
I heard implied in the current forecast, it was vaguely worded. It says, especially closer to Lake Michigan. But that's really just saying west of U.S. 131. We really know what they were attempting to say there. How much snow are we going to get, Bob?
Well, again, it depends on where you are. West of U.S. 131, probably a few inches worth. Immediate Kalamazoo area southward to St. Joseph County, it's probably an inch or so, whether that's a half inch or inch and a half. It's probably averaging around an inch. You go east, Calhoun, Branch counties, it's probably just a dusting.
Okay.
So this is comparable to the outbreak we had about a week and a half ago.
Only the winds are going to be in a more favorable configuration for lake effect snow for us?
A little more favorable, but not ideal. Not the type setup that would blast us with a very heavy lake effect snow. The winds are still a little too northerly.
Okay.
And also, perhaps more importantly, probably not lasting long enough from the favored direction for it to amount to much. In other words, we have seen outbreaks in the past that go on for 2-3 days at a time.
Oh, yeah.
This might be more of a 12 to 18 hours worth of lake effect snow. So without enough time, there wouldn't be an opportunity to really pile it on.
Did you say yesterday there's yet another weather system going to come through after this weekend prior to Thanksgiving?
Absolutely. There's an Alberta Clipper-type low that probably brings some snow to the area Monday. People get different maybe I shouldn't have called it an Alberta Clipper. The jury will strike that from the record.
Okay.
People have...
None of us heard that.
No, the reason I say that is that people have different mindsets when they hear Alberta Clipper. Sometimes that equates to 2 feet of snow. Sometimes people think that means it's going to 10 below zero. Truth be told, it's a fast-moving low that just comes out of Western Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Each one could be a little bit different. There are similarities in that they bring a narrow band of snow, or they're followed by very cold weather. So by that definition, I believe this will be an Alberta Clipper. But I think it brings us maybe an inch or two of snow Monday. What it will happen, though, as that year goes by, another blast of very cold weather follows for Tuesday and Wednesday and Thanksgiving Day. And at least Tuesday and Wednesday, some more lake effect snow.
Mm.
So maybe the Clipper itself only brings an inch or two, or 1 to 3, something like that. But there could be another round of lake effect snow behind it. And since it might last longer than this weekend's outbreak of lake effect snow, it might be more significant.
Ah, so we may have a white Thanksgiving is
indeed
what I'm hearing here.
And yes, we very well may. And it is going to be, by all accounts, a very cold Thanksgiving. It is possible we could be looking at highs only in the 20s on Thanksgiving Day.
Ooh, that is brisk.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So the word,
yes, I was going to say,
is drastic, because it's a drastic change. Not as though it is 70 right now. We're going into a drastic change, but it has touched 50 today, and it has been kind of tranquil, albeit cloudy. But it's a drastic change to much colder weather and prolonged cold. It starts tomorrow night, actually to some extent tomorrow. Tomorrow's colder than today, and then continues through Thanksgiving week.
Okay. So we ought to know where our snow shovels are, and if you haven't fired up the Toro yet this year, you might want to think about doing that, huh?
All right. If you don't need to use it here this weekend, it's questionable, then chances are you will next week at some point. And before we get to the snow, let's not forget there's going to be rain at times tonight and tomorrow morning, most of it light. We're probably talking about a quarter inch or less of rain.
Okay. We did hear in the news how much the big lakes are up, and we've been tracking our in Friday geekdom,
right?
The amount of rain we've had, and it's showing in the levels of the Great Lakes.
That's very good, because last year was a very dry year, and of course lake levels were way down, and this year a very wet year, so the lakes have responded.
They're still below average,
right?
But we've made a big comeback.
Right.
And tomorrow is Geek Friday, Bob.
It is.
And so make sure you got your homework done.
That's right. And remember, we not only check temperature and precip anymore, we also compare snow totals, even in this early portion of the season.
It's good. It's important stuff to know, Bob.
Right.
Hey, have a good one. We'll talk
Thanks,
to you
Roger.
Tomorrow.
Talk to you then.
Mm-hmm. 590 WKZO, time is 3:47, and we've got 50 degrees, and apparently we're going to get the potential for a fair amount of snow. Let's talk to John in Plainwell. John, how you doing this afternoon?
Not too bad, Roger.
What causes you to call us?
Well, talking about this ruling that was made in the Senate this afternoon,
mm-hmm,
regarding the judgeships in the D.C. Courts.
Mm-hmm.
My information is that these three judges that were not appointed because they were not qualified. It was because of lack of workload that they would have with when they were in there. Understanding there's 8 judges now on that court.
John Roberts, the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, yesterday said that is not true,
well,
that they do have the workload and that they do need to have those judgeships filled.
I don't know why they had all summer off last summer, because their court per judge is 149 cases,
mm-hmm,
and the rest of the nation, the average is about, to all the rest of the district courts in the nation, is about 700 and some per judge. And in the ones that come in the district are not, in D.C. district, are not that, volatile that they need a big time to you know, to use them to judge.
And so you don't see the Republicans to try to make sure the Obama administration failed, was standing in the way of filling these court slots. You're saying that the desire to fill vacant judgeships is or the stopping of doing that is just looking for efficient government, and there's no political overtones to it at all.
No, none.
John, you're wrong.
No. The cost per judge is $1 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do not have the caseload to justify it,
but the Chief Justice,
why would you do that?
The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court says those judgeships need to be filled.
Well,
and John Roberts is not a left-wing liberal activist.
I'm not sure about that, after the Obamacare ruling.
Well, John, I think your political perspective is showing. And the previous call, I am just as opposed to what the Democrats did in the Bush administration when they refused to fill judgeships for the same reason, just for petty politics. And I think we have finally moved beyond that with Harry Reid's action today. And yes, I think that the Democrats may someday regret this move if Republicans ever win the presidency and take control of the Senate. They're going to be able to move ahead, and the Democrats are not going to be able to stand in their way. And I think we're making progress here, John, and I think you're just looking at it from a...
No, I don't believe so. I think with the government and the physical condition we're in, spending-wise, I think $1 million a year, I know it don't sound much to you, you know, but... $1 million here and $1 million there, I think, would go a long way.
John, where were you when the Democrats were stopping the judgeships that Brian, the previous caller, talked about? Were you calling in complaining about that back then?
No, I think
so.
If
you
there's
think...
a need, I think they have to be based on need. If there's no need, there's no, either party should not. You know, put them up if there's no need. I think that
so
we have to have our judges work a little harder than what they are.
You're seeing the advise and consent on appointments, that includes making an economic judgment as to whether or not the judge is needed.
Right.
It isn't just advise and consent on an appointee. You see it going further than that.
Yes, much further.
Well,
if there's no need,
what about the small government that
out,
you guys always talk about? Conservatives are always talking about activist judges. And that's what you're trying to turn this into, an activist situation versus advise and consent on executive branch appointees.
Well, that's the way you see it, but I see it more as a physical problem. Financially, we need to be more responsible with our taxpayer money.
Okay. Well, thanks for your opinion,
you
John.
Thank you very much today, Rog.
You bet. Have a good one. Bye now. John and I just have to disagree. I'm thinking that we need a government that's fully functional. And having one party, no matter what party it is, oppose all judicial nominees is putting the country at risk. It is diminishing the effectiveness of our country. And this is where probably the biggest disagreement I have with conservatives is they want dysfunctional government. They want to prove to people that government is as bad as they've been saying it is. But as Brian pointed out, there have been times in the past when Democrats stood in the way of Republican judicial nominees. And here we have a case where that was reversed. And finally, it seems, we have moved on to where a majority rules. You know, it wasn't the Constitution that said you need a supermajority on all of these things. That was a Senate rule, and that's why Harry Reid could change it today. The Constitution did not require the supermajority. The Constitution has written that it took a majority. It took 50. It takes 51 votes in the Senate to act, and I think we have arrived at that point. If you have thoughts on this, 382-4280, 877-382-4280, and you can share your perspective. But I'm thinking we need a functional government. And I think Harry Reid moved us in that direction today. 356 590 WKZO. Couple of minutes ahead of 4 o'clock, and we've not had any traffic incidents so far, have we, Michael?
We've been pretty lucky today.
Yeah, that's cool. So keep up the good work, folks. But if you do see something that people should know about, Michael's at the ready. 382-4280-877-382-4280. The WKZO.com AccuWeather forecast, cloudy and chilly this afternoon, some light rain around. I've not had a chance to look at the radar, have you?
I have not.
Okay. Why don't you take a look at it? And we're at our high, 50 degrees. Periods of rain tonight into tomorrow morning, and a low tonight, 38. Cloudy, brisk, and chilly, 41 the high tomorrow. Windy and sharply colder tomorrow night into Saturday with snow showers. And a low of 25 Friday night and a high on Saturday of only 34. We've got 50 in Kalamazoo. Any showers out there on the radar, my friend?
It looks like they're all south of I-94.
That's a good thing.
News from the WKZO.com newsroom on 590 WKZO Kalamazoo.